When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
This is Coach Cimarroni for the Montrose Auto Group. If you're looking for a new vehicle or a pre-owned vehicle, Montrose Auto Group is the place to go. They have over 16 dealerships and over 1,300 used vehicles in their stock, as well as a pretty good stock of new vehicles, everything from Range Rovers to Fords. Seek out Montrose Auto Group and the fantastic people at Montrose Auto Group, headed by Mike Thompson and Chris Mills. We love you very much for your support. Thank you so much for your support of Blood Time, my podcast. Seek them out at GoMontrose.com for your pre-owned or new vehicles. GoMontrose.com. Chris Mills and Mike Thompson, thank you very much. We are all blood. Love to all. Hey, this is Coach Cimarroni for Blood Time. I am so excited for this guest. He's a hero of mine from my formative years, and also he was a nemesis of the Buckeyes back when he was playing in college. Thomas Darden. Tom, how are you?
I'm all right, Peter. How you doing?
Great. Great to have you on. And you played in the glory days, man, the golden era it wasn't the Jim Brown era, but it was right after that. And you also gave fits to Woody Hayes and the Buckeyes back in your Wolverine days.
Woody did not like that play very much, I don't think.
I think he got 15-yard penalties, and I don't know how he didn't get kicked out of the game.
Yeah, I was kind of surprised that he didn't either.
Yeah. Well, you had probably the most famous interception against Ohio State, particularly in the Michigan-Ohio State rivalry.
Well, let's just say I'm grateful that we were playing in Ann Arbor and not in Columbus.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, Tom, not only did you do amazing things in college, but you hold still the franchise record for the Browns for the most interceptions in a career, I believe.
Actually, I do. I hold the interception record for career and we're tied for the single season. So
right.
I'm proud of that.
Well, you were a very heady player. You had the angles. You knew you did the studying. You're a Michigan grad, so you had to have a little bit of the schoolroom discipline, and you played with some great teammates: Jerry Shirk, Clay Matthews. Tell me a little bit about what it was like to play with Greg Pruitt, and I think even Paul Warfield for a minute. And were you there when Erich Barnes was still there?
No, Erich was gone when I got there. The first secondary I played with was Mike Howell.
Sure.
Walt Sumner, Ben Davis.
Yeah.
And Clarence Scott.
Oh, my God, Clarence Scott, another all-pro with you.
Yeah.
Yep, that's a heck of a backfield. And Ben Davis is Angela Davis's brother.
That's right.
Yeah.
I always said to him, that was his claim to fame, was that he was Angela's brother.
That's right. It's unbelievable. And you were there during the infamous Phipps and Walt Warfield trade, am I right?
I came in after the trade, and then actually, they brought Warfield back, and he and I were roommates for a couple of years.
Okay, yeah, he played the last 2 years of his career with the Browns, correct?
Correct.
Right, and then you had that amazing backfield of the Pruitts, Greg and Mike.
Well, I tell you what, two totally different players, but right, both great in their own respect. Greg could do just about everything, run, catch. Probably wasn't the best blocker, but
Mike
was big and strong and would run over people, and he could outrun some people.
Yes, he could.
Both of those guys were great running backs.
Well, they're totally different, right? I mean, Greg was hello, goodbye, and Mike was pound and ground, right?
Yeah, well, think about it. They did away with the tearaway jersey because of Greg Pruitt.
Exactly right. Exactly right. Well, he had a famous T-shirt. On the front it said hello, and on the back it said goodbye.
Goodbye, that's right.
Yeah, and he was also a punt returner, pretty good too, with like you are.
He was much better punt returner than I ended up being his blocker.
So. Okay. Well, he had some moves, man. He had definitely some moves. I mean,
he had moves, plus he had speed.
Yeah, he was the original scat back, right?
Yes, you're absolutely right.
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 And then you played with Sipe was there too when you were playing, correct?
The metamorphosis of Brian Sipe. He was drafted in like the, you know, back then I think they had 12 or 14. I can't even remember how many rounds they had.
Right.
But Brian was a late round draft pick, made teams. And then hung around until he got his opportunity, and wow, look what he did. Took advantage
yep.
of that opportunity and became a great quarterback.
Well, he was, I think he was the MVP of the league in 80, wasn't he?
Yes, he was.
I mean, that's
yes,
amazing.
Was.
That's amazing. I mean, he was, but he was so accurate, and he had such beautiful touch.
Yeah, he had a great touch. And it didn't hurt that he had Reggie Rucker.
Right.
Ozzie Newsom and Dave Logan to throw the ball to.
Yeah, there were some pretty good hands with those three right there, man. I mean, no question about it. I mean, it was. You know, I think you kind of look at that and compare it to Kozar with Reggie Langhorne and Brian Brennan and some of those guys. And you also play with some other amazing guys like Jerry Shirk. What a stud, right?
I tell you what, when I got there,
yeah.
He and Walter Johnson.
Right, Walter Johnson, yeah. Yeah.
And actually, it was pretty good for me.
Sure.
Because usually, I didn't have to worry about people coming up the middle, you know?
Yeah.
Because both of those guys, not only were they studs up front, but they could rush the passer as well.
Well, Jerry, you know, I'm a wrestling coach. I'm the head wrestling coach at an area high school here. I've been coaching that sport forever because at 5'7", 152, I was a starting center in high school, but I wasn't doing anything after that, brother. So I stuck with wrestling. But Shirk was an All-American at Oklahoma, and he used a lot of those skills, leverage and angles and all that, to be an All-Pro for the Browns.
That's right. At Oklahoma State, I think he went to, and he was a great wrestler.
Yep.
Didn't he win the Big 12? It was the Big
12. He was a Big 12 champ, and he was an All-American. Yes, absolutely. Yeah. He was a stud. Yeah. Absolutely stud. And we also had another guy in my era, Bob Golic, and I think you may have played with him for a year or so with Cousineau, I think.
He came after I was gone. Yeah.
Okay. Well, Golic was a... he took third in the country, and he was a state champ for us at St. Joe's, and he took third in the country at Notre Dame right after they won the national title. So he only
Bob
had...
Was,
yeah.
Bob,
yeah.
Not only was he a funny guy, but he was obviously very strong. I just remember watching him as a middle guard.
Yep. What a stud, right?
Down that middle quite well for those teams after us.
Absolutely.
In the late 80s, early 90s.
Yes, he was something, and you know, you also play with a few other guys that I want to talk to you about, and then I want to get into your career. How could Clay Matthews play so long and at that level? I mean, what a physical specimen!
First of all, I don't know about anybody else, but
yep.
to be able to withstand the toll of the punishment you have to endure for as many years as he did.
Yep.
And to play at a level of all-pro level for years as he did,
yep,
is truly amazing. Because the thing that happens to your body, Peter, is that it deteriorates
sure.
over time.
Sure.
Now, the one good thing, my thing has always been, the further you are away from the ball,
yes,
the more difficult it is to stay around.
Yes.
Because you're running and changing direction, it takes a toll on your leg.
No doubt. Your knees, sure, your ankles,
and
absolutely.
Your knees and your ankles
yeah.
and your toes.
Yeah.
All of
yeah.
which I yeah. have issues with today.
Sure.
But for someone to do it as long as Clay Matthews did and did it at the level that he did it, It's truly amazing.
And his brother Bruce. I mean, what's in their gene pool?
Yeah, but at least for Bruce, yeah, he was an offensive lineman. And my thing is, offensive linemen had their head down. They don't really have to worry about much, you know.
Yep.
So, you know, for me, an offensive lineman can play forever.
Yes. Yeah.
If you've got, you know, obviously the brute strength and the arms and the shoulders to be able to keep those guys out.
But you also have to have great footwork no matter where you're playing, particularly in your sport.
Yes, you do have to have great footwork.
And you had great footwork, Tom. And the other guy that had great footwork was a Hall of Famer, Leroy Kelly. I think you played with him for a little bit too, right?
I did. I played with Leroy, and it was amazing to watch him make the move that he made in the hole.
Yep.
Then find a place to cut and run. I mean, the guy was amazing.
Yeah, and he was Jim Brown's caddy for a little bit, right?
Yes, he was.
That was amazing. I was 7 years old when they won the National Football League title. And, you know, I couldn't watch it for a week because it was back in the day when they blacked it out, you know. And obviously we didn't get a ticket because you had to.
Well, growing up in Sandusky, I used to watch the Browns all the time.
Sure, and, sure.
I was just amazed at that 64 team.
Wow.
Which was the last championship team.
Yep.
And I actually had the opportunity to play with a number of the guys that were still around on that team.
Sure. Was Hickerson still around when you...
Hickerson was around, Ron Snyder.
Sure.
Jim Houston.
Was Milt Morin on the team when you were playing?
Milt Morin.
Don Cockcroft too, right?
Ryan Cockcroft.
Sure.
Yeah, I played with quite a few of the guys that played on that championship team.
Yep. Well, it was amazing, and Cleveland. When I was growing up, you know, Cleveland was a powerhouse, and then of course we hit that lull in the '80s until Kozar got in there and kind of revived it again. But it was just always fun watching you guys. And there was another guy that I think came in maybe right after you retired, but did an amazing turnaround and became the comeback player of the year, Charles White, running back from USC.
I played 1 year with Charlie.
Okay.
And that was amazing.
I mean, what a physical specimen,
No, he came in after.
Did he? Did he? And so did Chip Banks, too, right? Chip Banks came right after
Chip
you?
Yeah, Chip Banks.
Yep.
He was another specimen, too.
Oh, my God.
He didn't have the bulk strength that you look for. This guy could run.
Yep.
And he didn't have a problem tackling bigger guys.
Yep.
He was a great athlete.
Yes. So, Tom, I want to talk about your formative years, you know, particularly in Michigan. You were all American there and all Big Ten. But you had just a heady game. You were always, it seemed like you were a step ahead of the guys. And tell me, who inspired that in you, or is that just your DNA?
No, Peter, I truly believe that in the game of football, you have to learn to be a student of the game.
Right.
And I was taught that very early in my career as high school player.
Okay.
And I had coaches who ended up, three of my high school coaches ended up being Massillon High School head coach.
Wow.
And you know what, being a head coach at Massillon was about.
Oh, my gosh. It was Paul Brown's high school, right? That's where he coached.
Right. Yeah. That's right. So yep. One of the guys I really attribute to him.
Yeah.
Me becoming a football player.
Okay.
His name was Mike Curran.
Mike Curran, okay.
And I'm a freshman in high school, and, you know, at that time, we were just playing football. You played because you played all the time.
Right.
But he's the one that got me to start lifting weights.
Sure.
To start learning how to play in the – well, he wanted me to be a linebacker. He actually put me at linebacker my senior year in high school because – our middle linebacker broke his leg in our first game.
Oh, wow. Wow.
But they came to me and said, look, we need you to play middle linebacker. I was 173 pounds.
Oh, boy. Oh,
and,
boy.
And I think it was that transformation that helped me to really start getting involved mentally into the game, because being 173 pounds, there was no way, and playing in the Buckeye Conference.
That sure, time, yeah, yeah.
It was the second best conference in the state of Ohio.
Yep.
Behind Maslin and Cam McKinley and those guys.
Right.
But I had to learn how to read the offensive line, know which way people were going to try to block me.
Sure.
Needless to say, I stepped around a lot of blocks.
But, I got you.
I had a strong guy, too, so I had to get tough.
Yeah, well, you had to tackle, and I want to explore that more, Tom. We got to take a break and pay attention to our sponsors, because that's what keeps us on the air here. So, yeah, we'll be right back with Tom Darden after the break. This is Coach Cimarroni for Blood Time. So our producer, Maverick Peters' dad, Scott Peters, was a heck of a high school wrestler, and he wrestled every day with the same guy, and they both made the state tournament. That guy was Jack Coslin. He's the owner of ServPro of Beechwood. ServPro of Beechwood is the industry leader in flood and fire cleanup and restoration, and they serve all of Northeast Ohio. But they're also short of staff. They're looking for team members. And if you're willing to work hard and help homeowners and businesses get their lives back in order and work with a former state qualifier, seek out ServPro of Beechwood. They will provide training, support, and of course, benefits. So if you're looking for that good entry-level position, seek Jack Coslin, the owner of ServPro of Beechwood, at ServProofBeechwood.com. Jack Coslin, thank you.
Defense Soap at DefenseSoap.com. In the midst of our current health crisis, we at Blood Time want to thank Guy and Gus Seiko and the team at Defense Soap as a beacon of our protection. Body wipes, skin cleansers, bars of soap, shower gels, and disinfectant tablets. All this and more as Defense Soap is on the front line of our protection. Thanks to the Seiko family and their team at Defense Soap. Check them out for all your protection needs during these precarious times. Defense Soap at DefenseSoap.com.
And we're back with Tom Darden, the All-Pro, the All-American, from University of Michigan and the Cleveland Browns. Tom, you were exploring your formative years in Sandusky, and you had Coach Kern inspire you to really become a student of football and also dedicate yourself to becoming an actually complete football player by lifting, etc. So talk a little bit about how you got to Michigan and what that was like.
Well, the interesting story was, when you're being recruited in high school, and for me, it was huge. It was the first time that I could go out and eat a steak. Right?
Yeah, I got it.
I wanted to take a lot of visits, but my father said, no, you boil it down to the two schools you want to go to.
Okay.
And then you make those visits. So, well, I actually did three.
Okay.
I visited Ohio State.
Yep.
Northwestern and Michigan.
Yep.
I wanted to play in the Big Ten because at that time, the Big Ten was the conference.
Yep.
And I wanted to play football in the Big Ten.
Gotcha.
So on my trip to Northwestern,
yep,
they were not very good.
No.
But it was a great school. Alex Agassi was the coach.
Sure.
It was a great school. I really enjoyed my visit.
Oh, now, academically amazing, and Alex Agassi is a Hall of Famer. So, it was a great choice. But it would have been
a
great choice.
Former Brown.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Exactly.
And when I went to Columbus, that was an interesting experience because when you go to these big colleges, I'm sure it's a lot different now than it was back in the late '60s, but. When you go to these places, they have you and your parents sitting in this room.
Okay.
And you sit in with the other guys that are being recruited at that time.
Okay.
So they have their war room where they have all of the players listed at their position and how they're ranked.
Wow.
And they're recruiting their power.
Yep.
So I'm walking around waiting for my my turn to come, and I come across this room.
Okay.
And I peek into this room, and I see the board, and I see my name. And because I was a linebacker,
mm-hmm.
Woody Hayes had me positioned as a linebacker.
Oh, no.
Yeah, that's
and,
not good.
And had me down, way down on the list, right?
Right.
Right. So I said, okay. So they come out, Mr. Garden in town, will you come? And we go in, and we sit down with Coach Hayes, and I look over there, and my name's at the top, right?
Oh, wow. Oh, wow. Yeah. How fun.
So it was a little different, but.
Little bit of a sales job. I like that.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Definitely a sales job.
Oh, yeah.
But the thing that got me was, when Bump Elliott came to my house. And,
Who was that?
Bump Elliott.
Okay, okay.
He was the head coach at Michigan at that time.
Right, right, right.
He came and my mother fell in love with Bump. You know, he was nattily dressed. He was a perfect gentleman.
Sure.
Just a nice guy, right?
Right,
and
right.
So I said, well, I think I'm going to Michigan.
There
so
you go.
I went to Michigan. And when I made my trip on campus with all the other guys that had committed,
yeah,
there were, at that time, there were four black athletes on scholarship on the football team at the University of Michigan.
Wow.
Four.
Wow.
And in my class, there were eight of us.
Oh, my gosh.
So we had more than what they had ever seen at the University of Michigan.
Wow. Wow.
Four of those eight became All-Americans.
Wow. That's crazy. That is such a great story, Tom. My gosh. And you had to feel very, very fortunate to be in with that quality of a class, right?
Yes. Yes. And it was interesting because, you know, we had a guy that was the son of one of the four horsemen.
Oh, wow.
Notre Dame.
Sure.
Had Bump's nephew in our class. We had, we had some guys who had recognition and as you would call it, pizzazz, coming from high schools all over the country.
Sure.
To come to Ann Arbor, okay?
Sure.
So I'm thinking, how am I going to compete with these guys?
Right, right.
Yeah, it was kind of an anxious moment for me.
Sure.
At the beginning of that situation.
Right. But you did, my friend. You did. And you transformed yourself into, I think, what, a two-time All-American?
Two-time Big Ten.
Gotcha.
My senior year, I was All-American.
Okay.
The biggest thing, Peter, was I went from 173 pounds to 200 pounds.
Yes, yes. And at 200 pounds back then, that's a big defensive back.
Yeah, that was big.
Yeah,
that was big.
Yeah. Well, and you're reasonably tall too for particularly that era, like 6'1", 6'2", weren't you?
I was 6'2". That was tall for back then.
Yes. Yes, absolutely. And so, you know, you do this amazing thing, basically burn that interception in the memories of the Ohio State alumni, and then you go to Cleveland Browns. What was that like to play for your hometown team?
That was truly amazing. Yeah. Okay. I first of all, I did not think that I didn't think about the NFL.
Gotcha.
Back then, you didn't think like they do now. I mean,
right.
Totally different.
Right.
Right. And they didn't have a combine or anything of that nature.
Right.
So I played in the college all-star game in Chicago.
Okay.
I played in the all-star game down in Lubbock, Texas.
Sure.
And that's where the pro scout got a chance to see you. So by the time the June came around, there were a couple of teams called. I thought I was going to be drafted by San Francisco.
Okay.
They needed a safety. They wanted a safety.
Right.
And I thought they were going to pick me. I didn't know I was going in the first round.
Okay.
But anyway, when the Browns called me
yep.
at my house when I was living on campus, I was utterly surprised and truly grateful because I had watched them all my life.
Sure. Sure. I wish they were as good as picking first round draft picks over the years as they were with you. We'd have a lot better results, my friend. Oh well. Hey, but so you get picked, and you know it's interesting too because my nephew is the defensive coordinator for Duke football, and he was a strong safety for Davidson. So okay. I watched his career, and that is just a safety is just a hard position. You are like the shortstop or the quarterback for the defense, but like a shortstop, more like a shortstop, you know, or just you just know everybody's position, right?
Yeah, it's interesting because back then, to be perfectly honest with you, there were no blacks playing that position.
Right, right.
It was considered the quarterback of the defense
yep.
because you had to make calls
sure.
based upon formation, based upon where you are on the field.
Right.
So there was a lot of mental purity that I guess go into that position and in the secondary.
Yep.
So when they put me at that position,
yes,
felt a responsibility.
Yep.
And yep. I enjoyed it.
Well, you did great at it. I mean, there's no you took to it like a fish to water. I mean, you were, we just felt good that Tom Dart was heading up the defense. I mean, it was just a great feeling. I mean, that's all my friends used to feel that way. And then you had a heck of a secondary too with Clarence Scott and some of the other guys.
Yeah.
You know, and then you played under Skorich initially, but Forrest Gregg, who ended up becoming NFL Coach of the Year, I think, with the Bengals, really understood the game. And
right. We were very fortunate that we had a good coach. We had, especially in the secondary at that time,
yep.
we had a guy by the name of Richie McCabe.
Okay,
Who coached the Oakland Raiders before he came to us. And he was the one, to be honest with you, when back then in the 60s, in the conferences across the United States college football,
yeah.
you played a lot of zone coverage.
Okay.
The only time you would play man most of the time was when you blitz.
Right.
So I was just learning the ins and outs of how to play man coverage, how to move your feet. And Richie McCabe was responsible, in my mind, for placing the emphasis on me to learn how to be a good man-to-man cover guy.
And that's so hard. That's so hard, yeah.
He put a lot of trust in me because he would put me on the corner.
Okay.
In summer camp.
Okay.
In the scrimmage.
Yeah.
Let me play corner.
Gotcha.
And I wasn't as fast as Clarence. Wasn't as fast then.
Yep.
But I can hold my own.
Okay.
And once I learned the footwork.
Yep.
And I felt comfortable that I could have played corner.
Well, you're right. The footwork and the angles.
Yeah.
I mean, that's where the heady game comes from. And I teach that in my sport too. I said footwork is so important, but the angle, you know, be in the best position with the least amount of work. That's what
there
you know.
That's so prevalent.
Yep.
In the secondary.
Yeah.
You got to know where you are on the field.
Yep.
And one of the things for us before they moved the hash mark,
you sure.
always knew what was the yardage from the hash mark to the sideline. What's the yardage?
Yep.
Where you are on the field, what that yard marker is, and you knew back then they had strong side, weak side. So
yes.
you knew. If you were on the weak side, you had lesser territory to cover.
Sure.
But if you're on the strong side and the wide side of the field, you had a lot more room to cover.
Yes.
So you had to split that wide side. I think it was 26 some odd yards, and you would have to get somewhere between 13, 14 yards since you were in the middle.
So yeah.
You could cover sideline to the middle of the field.
Right. Right. Yeah, it was a different game back then. No question about it. And you had some amazing coaches, Tom, and of course,
I believe you played in the game that broke all of Cleveland's hearts. Red right 82, right?
Oh man.
Against Oakland.
I don't even mention that one.
Yeah, okay, I won't, but
first of all, it took me 2 or 3 days to thaw out after that game.
Exactly. It was a frozen tundra. It was almost
Man, we wore tennis shoes. We wore tennis shoes in the secondary because you couldn't stand up on cleat.
Right. Right. And Cockcroft had just all kinds of problems that game, and just everybody had problems that game. And boy, oh boy, when Sipe threw that interception, it was like, oh my gosh.
it was disheartening because all I kept visualizing was being on the beach in San Diego.
Exactly. The next week. Exactly right. Well, you played your heart out, and the team played its heart out, and it was a cardiac kid's year, wasn't it?
Oh, man, I never experienced anything like that before or after.
Yeah, it was a magical season that I guess just kind of turned to dust at the end, but it was a great run, and you gave us a lot of great memories, Tom, in your career, and that team and the teams that you played on prior to that. So I wanted to, this has been great. I mean, you made my absolute month with this interview.
Oh, thank you. It's good to talk about the good stuff. Man.
Exactly. And I wanted to just ask you if you would, we're coming out of this terrible year of COVID, and things are opening up and people are getting back to some semblance of normal. So I'm just going to leave it out to you, and just if you could leave our audience with some words of, encouragement and some positive thought process.
Well, let me just say this. First of all, throughout the history of the Browns, the fans have been one of, if not the best in the National Football League.
Agreed.
During my tenure there, from 72 to 82, there were ups and downs. But
sure.
Even when we were not very good, the fans supported us immensely. We always had 80,000 people in that stadium.
Right.
Just thinking of some of the highlights, like the Monday night game against the Cowboys, that place was just rocking.
Yes.
It was just unbelievable, the energy that was in that place. Yeah. I am looking forward to seeing that again because I think this team that they have assembled now.
Yes.
Is capable of doing great things.
I agree.
And I sent a note to the Haslam a year ago.
Okay.
I said, thank you for being proactive as you are, because pretty soon the Browns are going to make it to a Super Bowl.
Yeah, Stefanski has definitely got it. He's got the tools, no question about it. Yep. And he's doing the right things. And that's the best word of encouragement for Cleveland, Ohio. If there's a championship team with the Browns, this place will go bananas.
No doubt.
I mean,
I just wish I would have been a part of one that brought a championship there.
I feel you. But you're a champion in our heart, Tom. You're always a class act. And you could put a hat on some people, too, my friend, when you had to. I know that. And you play with some amazing human beings, too, and just people that peppered my formative years as well, and gave me some great memories. And I'm just thankful that you spent some time with us today.
It was a great time in my life, and still got a lot of friends from those teams. But those memories will never die, Peter.
I hear you. Well, Tom, if you're ever in Cleveland, let me know, and I'll take you out to dinner. I'd love to see you, my friend.
Oh, man, I will take you up on that.
All right. Well, don't you got my number. You got my number, so don't.
I do have your number.
Okay. Well, thank you so much, Tom Darden, our all-pro Cleveland Browns safety and captain and quarterback of the defense during the 70s and a little bit of the 80s. Tom, thank you so much.
Thank you, Peter. Thanks for having me on.
All right, this is Coach Cimarroni for Blood Time. We are all blood. Love to all. Hey, have you ever wondered how the ultra-wealthy grow their real estate portfolio so fast and furious? Have you ever heard of the infinite banking concept? Learn how you can become your own bank and build out your own real estate portfolio like the pros, like the ultra wealthy. Call Ed Knezovich or Ryan Miller at Next Level Continuing Education at 614-648-2440. Learn how to purchase
investment real estate without spending a dollar of your own capital through Next Level Continuing Education. 614-648-2440.
What was it like to be there for historical sports moments and unforgettable performances? To be behind the scenes? On PressBox Access, you'll hear from me, Todd Jones, and other sports writers about their experiences with the greatest athletes, coaches, and sports events of the past half century. We'll share some stories behind the stories, some big, some small, and some we've only told each other. Let us buy you a round on PressBox Access.